Let's turn in the scriptures to the book of Proverbs, chapter 5. Proverbs, chapter 5. Proverbs, chapter 5, and we'll begin reading at the verse number 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Lest thou give thine honour unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labours be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. Amen. We know the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his inspired and infallible word. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, we come into thy presence. We thank thee for thy word as we come to consider your word and consider lessons from Pilgrim's Progress. Once again, we pray that we would see the application of all of this for our own lives in this time in which we are living. So we commit ourselves unto thee. Bless the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, for Christ's sake. Amen. And amen. The two pilgrims have spent some time in the Delectable Mountains. And in the Delectable Mountains, they met the shepherds. The shepherds gave them instruction, sobering lessons, serious lessons, lessons that were fearful, lessons about apostasy, about failing the Lord, of proving yourself to have never have been a true pilgrim, but they also had the great encouragement of seeing afar off the gates of the celestial city from the hill that is called Clear. And at this moment, John Bunyan, who is relating the story, he depicts himself as wakening up, because the story is a dream. That's how he tells the story. It was a literary device. He had this dream of this pilgrim going to the celestial city. And then in the middle of the story, he wakens up. And a lot of people who have studied Pilgrim's Progress believe that this waking up signifies a break in the story. That up until this point in time, he has been describing his moment from his sinful state through to his conversion, through to his gaining assurance of salvation, and right up to the point where he was now mature and God had called him to be a preacher. And from this point on in the story, the picture is of John Bunyan's spiritual journey as a preacher, as a minister of the gospel. Certainly there must be some reason why he depicts himself as wakening up at this point. But now he goes back to sleep and the dream continues. The story continues. And there are now two pilgrims. There's Christian and there's Hopeful. And they continue on their journey. But as they continue on their journey, with the words of the shepherds ringing in their ears, with the warnings of the shepherd ringing in their ears, they meet some people. Encounters along the way. John Bunyan had great insight into human nature. And the people that he met, the people that Christian and Hopeful met, were significant because they describe the people Bunyan met in his life, but they also describe the people that we meet. And we can see spiritual characteristics here from some of the people that Bunyan talks about now. And so the first person that Christian and Hopeful meet as they leave the Delectable Mountains behind, the first person they meet is a young man called Ignorance. Now, they met Ignorance, he was coming up through a crooked lane. And the crooked lane connected the path that led to heaven with the country of conceit. And of course we know what conceit means. It means pride. And this fella, he came from this country that means pride. He came a crooked lane. It was a crooked path, signifying that he was kind of twisted in his thinking, in his spiritual thinking. And he enters the way. Now he is described by Bunyan as being a brisk young lad, full of confidence, full of determination. He was a young man on a mission. And he was fully determined that he was going to reach the celestial city. But yet he hadn't come the same way that Christian and Hopeful had come. He hadn't come through the straight gate. Nor did he come by the hill of the cross. He came through this crooked path. And so Christian speaks to him. And he asks him why he had come this way and not the proper way. Now notice what Ignorance says. I know my Lord's will, and I have been a good liver. I pay every man his own. I pray, fast, pay tithes, and give alms, and have left my country for whither I am going. Be content to follow the religion of your country, and I will follow the religion of mine. I hope all will be well. There are many people around us, and they're living exactly like this man called Ignorance. You have your religion. You have your faith. I will have mine. And I just hope all will be well. How many people are there not around us? And they're going to church and they're living good lives. And they're paying into their church. And they're respectable citizens. And they're religious minded people. But yet, they just hope all will be well. And they haven't come by the way of the cross. Notice those words. I have been a good liver. Many people, they use the phrase to describe a Christian, good living. We hear it over and over again. That person's got good living. It's entirely wrong. And it's a total misrepresentation of the gospel, because the Bible says there is none that doeth good, no, not one. We do not go to heaven because we are good living. Many a person out there in society, they're good living, but they're not Christian, because they haven't trusted Christ as their saviour. Bunyan certainly knew many people that were ignorant of the gospel. And we know these people as well. And ignorance really becomes a spiritual tragedy in the Pilgrim's Progress, because ignorance follows Christian and Hopeful. He keeps his distance from them, but he follows them. And when they get to the gates of the city, his end is not as happy as theirs. And yet all the while he thought all would be well. The tragedy of it all. The next person they encounter was called Turn Away. Now Turn Away came from the town of Apostasy. Whenever the two pilgrims, the way took them through a very dark lane. And in this dark lane, they saw this man. He was filled with seven demons. And he was bound with seven strong cords. And the reason why he was bound with seven strong cords was that he was going to be taken and dragged away and put through the door in the side of the hill that they had already seen in the Delectable Mountains, the byway to hell, the shortcut to hell. He would be going in that way. They could not see his face because his head was hung, but they could see the words written on his back. And notice what the words were: wanton professor and damnable apostate. Here was one who seemed to be in the way. Here was one who seemed to have been a professor of Christ, but yet he turned totally away from everything that he believed. He was never genuinely in the way to begin with. Some appear to be in the way, and they prove by their conduct that they were never in the way. That's why we read from Proverbs chapter 5. Bunyan actually mentions this passage whenever he talks about turn away. Verses 21 through to 23 are very challenging. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. The Lord sees beyond all of our actions. And he sees right into the very heart of the nature. He sees us as we are tonight. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. Remember, this man turned away, he had seven demons, but he also was bound with seven cords. The demons were in effect binding him. And in Proverbs chapter 5, Solomon is particularly warning against the sin of immoral behaviour, the sin of adultery, the sin of behaving in a way that is destructive for our own lives, for our own hearts, for our own character. And he's saying the sin of such a man or woman will take him. A person being bound and destroyed by their own sin, the cords of their own sins, destroying them. What happens to such a person? He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. The destructiveness of sin. That's the message from turn away. And now we come to think about another character who's very different. And this man is called Little Faith. The path now took Christian and Hopeful past a lane that was called Dead Man's Lane. And at the other end of Dead Man's Lane was the Broadway Gate. And so what is quite interesting here is that you have the way that leads to heaven, but there's a connection here between the way that leads to heaven with the gate that leads to the Broadway. And now and again, people come up along from the Broadway meaning to do harm to the true pilgrims. And of course, John Bunyan, he lived in a time of persecution, and there were those who were on the Broadway who were persecuting the people of God. He himself suffered. He spent 13 years in prison for being a preacher of the gospel. And as they came past Dead Man's Lane, Christian started to tell Hopeful a story that he had heard about one that suffered greatly along Dead Man's Lane. And this man was called Little Faith. Now, he made a terrible mistake. He fell asleep, and he was going past Dead Man's Lane. He felt very tired, and he fell asleep, and of course he left himself open to attack. And whenever he was sleeping, along came three brothers. Now look at their names: Faint Heart, Mistrust, and Guilt. They attacked Little Faith. They stole his money. But they did not kill the pilgrim. And the reason why they did not kill the pilgrim was because they were afraid of one called Great Grace that was nearby. And Great Grace came from the town of Good Confidence. And they were afraid that Great Grace would come and destroy them and rescue Little Faith. And so while they attacked Little Faith and stole some of his property, they could not ultimately kill him because of Great Grace. Now the thieves, they robbed Little Faith of his money, but they couldn't take his jewels, nor could they take his certificate. The certificate was what he needed to get into the gates of the celestial city. All the pilgrims carried the certificate. The certificate represents the work of God's Spirit in our hearts. That cannot be taken away. Now, the names of these vagabonds, they demonstrate what the devil can take from us. What can the devil take from us? Well, faint heart. This man called faint heart. That indicates to me the devil can steal us of our convictions. And he can do that. If we leave ourselves open to an attack from the devil, he can take our convictions. We live in a day when people seem to have their convictions weakened. The spirit of this world weakens the convictions of people. And the devil's in the business of weakening the convictions of God's people. We need to be alive to that. Mistrust. The devil's in the business of destroying our confidence. And guilt. The devil's in the business of robbing us of our assurance. The devil can do all of these things to us. He can do great harm to us. And little faith would suffer throughout the rest of his pilgrimage because of this attack. Indeed, wherever he would go and whoever he would meet, he would be so down in the dumps. He would be so negative. And he was, oh, look what happened to me back there. He never could quite get over it. But yet he still remained a pilgrim. And he still remained one who was in the path to glory. And the devil could never take his jewels. He could never take his justification that he had with Christ. He could never take a certificate. He couldn't do this. He could never rob him of his pilgrimage. You know, the devil can attack us in all kinds of ways. We should be aware of that. But he cannot destroy our souls. He cannot take us to hell. He cannot rob us of Christ. He can't do that. Sometimes in our pilgrimage, we are like little faith, aren't we? But as he had a great defender, so we have a great defender. And his name is Great Grace. And Bunyan describes Great Grace as having scars and cuts on his face because of the battles he had fought. And Christ, of course, is the one with the scars on his hands and on his feet. And Christ is depicted as the one who came from the town of good confidence. And what does that teach us? Our faith can be little. But we are not to put confidence in ourselves. And we're not to rest upon man or anyone else, but to have our confidence in Christ. That is where our confidence rests. And we need to learn the lessons from the story of little faith. Now let's come to think about the flatterer. The flatterer is one of the most solemn and searching lessons on Pilgrim's Progress. You see, they were warned about the flatterer. The last thing the shepherd said to them before they left the mountains was this. Here are the instructions for the rest of your journey. Handed them over. Beware of the flatterer. But they forgot the admonition. Hebrews 2 verse 1 says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. All of the warnings we have in the scriptures, if we don't listen to them, if we don't remember them, we'll slip. How often have we not slipped? Because we have neglected the warnings of scripture. Christian and hopeful, they forgot. And so they reached this fork in the road and they didn't know where to go, what they should do. They forgot that they had the instructions in their pocket. You know, sometimes we reach difficult places and we just forget to get to the word. The answers are there. We need to get to it, think about it. Instead, we become confuddled, confused. We don't know what to do. Then along comes a man. He's got black flesh, but he's got a white coat. And they cannot see his black flesh. All they can see is the white coat. And he says, follow me. And so they followed him. But he led them straight into a net. And they could not disentangle themselves. They realised too late. The man walked away. He took his white coat off and they could see the blackness. They realised this was the flatterer. He appeared to be so genuine. But really, his intentions were very dark. Proverbs 29 verse 5 says, a man that flattereth his neighbour spreadeth a net for his feet. Flattery feeds our pride and our vanity. This all is really about pride. If we depend upon self, not upon the Lord, if we look to our own energies, our own talents, our own abilities, if we look to our own resourcefulness, we spread a net for our own feet. Because ultimately what we do in the flesh will always, always fail. And perhaps this is descriptive of Bunyan's own ministry. Perhaps he was indicating that those engaged in public ministry must be especially on the guard against the devil's devices. Because the devil can so easily puff a man up with pride And that is something that everyone needs to be aware of. In 2 Corinthians 11, 14 and 15 we read, "For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness." The devil has many guises and he has many deceptions. But ultimately, if we get away from the word and from the instructions of God's truth, we may end up in his net. But the Lord was not going to allow his servants to remain in the net. The Lord never ever allows a genuine backslider to remain as backslidden still. The Lord always comes to the deliverance. And so he sends a shining one who brings these two pilgrims back into the path. And after they were cut out of the net, and after they were led back to the path, the shining one, he had a whip in his hand. And he told the two pilgrims to get down on the ground, and he whipped them in order that they might know the seriousness of their sin. And in Revelation 3:19 we read, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." The chastening of the Lord is a very important doctrine. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, the Apostle Paul teaches us that when we are chastened, that is really the badge of sonship. "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And those whom the Lord chastens, they will become partakers of his holiness." I love that. Because a good father will chasten his children, and so the Lord, as a good father, must chasten us. And we must always be alive to the workings of God in our lives. And sometimes we experience things that we would rather not experience in the flesh, but yet it is needful that we might be strengthened in the faith. God does not leave us alone. The final person they meet on this phase of the journey is the atheist. Now, atheist is totally different from all of the other people they had met. All of the other people they had met seemed to be going on the way to the celestial city. Even this guy called Turnaway, who was taken and dragged into hell, at one time he was going on the way. But this fellow called atheist was different. As they were going to the celestial city, he came running the opposite direction. He was going away from the celestial city as far as he could go. And whenever they met atheist asked them, "Where are you going?" And they said, "We're going to the celestial city." And he laughed at them. In fact, he is described as falling on the ground, rolling about in laughter, mocking them. And he said, "I have spent the last 20 years of my life looking for such a place, and I can now affirm that there is no place. It does not exist." And of course, the rationalists of our age, they deny the whole idea of faith. And they say, because you can't see heaven with a telescope, because you can't scientifically spend a spacecraft there, because nobody has come back to tell us of such a place, therefore we affirm that there is no such place, because they deny the very essence of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The very evidence that heaven exists is found in the faith that God has given to us in Jesus Christ. But the unbeliever does not recognize this. The words of Hopeful with Bunyan's narrative, it's a good place to close. "Now I rejoice in hope of the glory of God." No matter what you say, I rejoice in hope of the glory of God. No matter what the world throws at us, we can say, "I rejoice in hope of the glory of God." So they turned away from the man, and he, laughing at them, went his way. And we go our own ways to the celestial city, regardless of what the world thinks of us, regardless of what the unbelievers think of us. We're going to the city that is paved of gold. And what a great comfort and a great hope that is for us all. May the Lord bless thee.